In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Mercy is defined by St. Thomas Aquinas as the loosening of the punishment or the requirements of justice that a person is that is due to their crime. And St. Thomas makes the observation that it is done, the reason that you do this is ultimately for the good of the individual. The reason you have mercy on them is because it's actually better for them than the actual application of justice. It's a mean. Mercy, St. Thomas says, is a mean between excess and defect. The defect is laxity, where there's no actual application of the law to the individual. There's no justice ultimately. And that can be actually to the person's detriment. But then he says the excess is cruelty, in which there the harshness or the excessiveness of the punishment is what is noted. God is infinitely just, but he will allow letting loose of the effect of the law for our good. That is, it ultimately comes from charity. God loves us so much that he wants us to be able to achieve a particular good thing. And if he punishes us to the full extent of the law, at each and every infraction, except for those who are in hell, of course, for each and every infraction, it would end up being to our spiritual detriment. And so he allows mercy. But mercy is not absolute in the sense that there are certain conditions for the mercy. And we know from Scripture that there are two conditions for receiving God's mercy. Either ignorance, that you just don't know any better, so God will kind of cut you some slack. And that's ultimately why Adam and Eve were given mercy in us afterwards, is because they were deceived, which was a sign they acted in some degree of ignorance. Not complete, but in some degree of ignorance. Then, of course, the other one is sorrow. As we read in Scripture, mercy is for the contrite. So if you're knowledgeable, but you're not sorrowful, you won't receive mercy from God. And there's different kinds of sorrow. There's attrition, which is the kind of sorrow that you have that you don't want to go to hell, you don't want to, you don't like the effects of the sin in you, which is a good thing. It comes from grace, but it's not perfect. Rather, contrition is perfect, insofar as it is rooted in the love of God because you don't want to offend him. Now, this means, of course, today that if we are sorry, God will extend mercy to us. But there's abuse of mercy that's going on these days. And one of the first is by excess, in which they think that mercy extends to all people, regardless of what they've done, without any conditions, etc. And it's called universal salvationism. But we know that universal salvationism is a heresy. And the reason we know it is because Christ said about Judas, it was better that he had never been born. And all of the fathers of the church interpret that to mean that Judas is in hell. All of them. We also know from Revelation as well that Satan and a third of the angels fell and are in hell. So we know for a fact that there are people in hell. Then, of course, there's an abuse of God's mercy on the side of defect. And that's those who say, well, no one's going to be saved. Restricting God's mercy to such a degree that nobody seems to be able to get it, not even themselves. On excess, again, there is those who say it doesn't matter what you do, God will always forgive you regardless of it. And this, they say, because there's no conditions for God's forgiveness. That is completely false. God himself said, you must be sorry. If you're sorry and penitent, I will forgive you your sins. That is what he taught. Not, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm always going to forgive you. Now, it's true that there is no sin that God can't forgive, but you still have to be sorry for it. There's only one sin, we know from Scripture, that cannot be forgiven, and that's final impenitence. That is, the person goes to their death refusing God's mercy. All of the sins can be forgiven, provided that we meet the conditions. Then there's, of course, the defect. Doesn't matter what you do, and doesn't matter what's going to happen, you're not going to get God's mercy. And everyone is bad. There's no love on the side of God. He's just really out to punish you all the time. And that also is not true. God only punishes people when it's good for them. Otherwise, he extends their mercy because God wants us to be healed, to be perfect. sometimes by excess in self-punishment, where people are constantly beating up on themselves when God Himself has already extended their mercy to him. We cannot stand in judgment of God's mercy this way, as if somehow or another our standards are higher than His. That is, we have to be willing to forgive even ourselves, provided that we are sorry. If we're sorry and we're trying to make up for it, then we have to extend mercy to ourselves, which means we have to not continually pick ourselves and beat up on ourselves and things that we can't punish ourselves. Leave it to God. Then there is, of course, the sin of presumption. And that's the sin, I'm going to commit this mortal sin because tomorrow I can get to confession. And the sin of presumption is quite egregious. It's a sin against charity, ultimately, because it's a sin against the love of God. If you really love God, you're not going to abuse His mercy in that way. There are effects of mercy. The first is our salvation. It is because of Christ's mercy for us, God's mercy for us, that He came and He saved us. It is because of His mercy that He hung upon the cross. Everything that we have and everything that we are is because of God's mercy. Because God could have wiped us out after Adam and Eve. He could have just let Adam and Eve die and let the human race die and said, "That's it, I've had it." He could have done that and not extended His mercy to us. He could have wiped us out even after that. He can do it now, in fact. But He could have done it when Noah built the ark. He told them to build the ark. The ark is a sign of God's mercy. The tabernacle, the actual ark of the covenant, is a sign of God's mercy. The covenant is, if you are sorry, your sins will be forgiven. If you do this, this is what will happen. That is the agreement that was made. He sent His Son as a sign of His mercy. His grace is a sign of His mercy. St. Alphonsus Liguori says that there are some people who are so wicked, they commit so many mortal sins, that God preordains there's a certain number of mortal sins that He's going to allow them to commit, and then He just pulls the plug on His grace, he said. Now, most of the time, though, God is constantly trying to get the sinner back. But this is a sign of His grace. If you're receiving the grace to get to confession, to be sorry for your sin, it's a sign of His mercy for you. He wants us to heal. He doesn't want us to suffer. It's also a sign of His mercy. In effect. Another effect is the freedom from the sin, when He forgives us our sin and the guilt for it. And also, in a certain level, the reparation for our sin. While it's true that there's the temple punishment due to sin, He'll forgive even that through the spiritual treasury of the church, which is called an indulgence. His desire is for us, the ultimate effect of His mercy, is for us to be able to stand for Him, before Him, free of guilt, free of any obligations to pay back to Him, and in a sense, to be free. His mercy is beautiful, rich, and shows us His love. And therefore, we should make sure that we never abuse it, but we should always appeal to it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.